Exodus chapter 1, beginning with verses 22. We'll be talking about the early time of Moses. Verse 22, "So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, 'Every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive.' And a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him."
Thank you, Steve. I can't imagine how much it must have pained that mother to see this beautiful baby and to know that it was the law that that child should be thrown in the river. I can't imagine how much that would hurt. Mothers seem to have to deal with a lot of pain, don't they, in their lives? But a lot of joy that nobody else can have, but a mother can have as well. And that's certainly true for this mother. God has seemed to bless mothers with qualities, as I look at it from a male's perspective, that just seem to be a little bit beyond, a lot beyond, maybe what many men are blessed with. One Sunday morning, several years ago, when our kids were still at home, we got to church early. We always did. And it was just at the time when the women's lib movement was really underway. And I stopped in the men's restroom, and above every urinal there was a cartoon. And on it, it said, "After God made his experimental model, he made the perfect human being." When I saw that, I thought the night before the youth group had been at the building, and I thought, that looks like my daughter's work. We have a second daughter that is always just mischievous like that. So I go around to all the restrooms and I jerk these things off the wall before the elders see them. And I gather them all up and I go down. I know where she is. She's in her Bible class. I run down there and say, "Tammy, did you do this?" She said, "Yeah, Dad, isn't it cool?" I said, "You'll get me fired." But you know, moms have some qualities that us guys admire and are grateful for. Have you ever noticed mothers come the closest to having agape love for you than probably anybody else on earth? Have you noticed that? I made a list of some 7 different things that I think mothers are really great at, and God has blessed them. And at this time, as we honor Mother's Day, I think we honor the Lord when we talk about His second creation. In a time when the world wants to put down motherhood and maybe even rally to give mothers the privilege of killing their babies, the women that I see and the women that I know that have blessed this world have been those who didn't try to kill their babies but tried to help them grow up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Have you ever noticed how strong a mother's prayer power is? Your mother will be praying for you and praying for you till the day she dies. I would call my mother every Saturday afternoon. It was a habit. She spent 30 years here without my father, and we would talk every Saturday. And I knew every Sunday morning when I went into the pulpit, my mother was praying for me. The last time I was on the way to church, and my brother calls me and says, Mom died last night. I went to church and I asked the congregation to pray for me and my family as we grieve the loss of our mother. After service, one of the ladies came up to me and said, How could you preach after your mother had just died? And for me, the reaction was just so obvious. It's what she raised me to do. And her death doesn't make me less likely to do it. It makes me more likely to do it. Mothers seem to bring a security to the home. I remember when I was a kid, we got off the school bus and we headed in the house. And I remember throwing open the screen door and running in. And guess what I hollered? Top of my lungs, Mama! Anybody else do that? I remember when I'd be home and Mama wasn't there. And the kids would come in. They'd look at me and they'd say, Where's Mom? I just couldn't be Mom. I just wasn't Mom. There's a security with Mom as there is a security with Jesus. There's a healing power in her kisses. Have you noticed? Child can fall down, skin their knee, come crying to Mama. She can pick them up. She can give them a good hug. She can kiss it. And she can say it'll be all better soon and start rocking the baby. And just calm down. Just calm down. Mothers never quit believing in their child. Others may give up on you. But I believe she has a Christ-like characteristic in that she believes in her child. She'll never quit trying to help her child. Never. Never. Jochebed, I think, illustrates that in this event. How creative this woman was. To think, well, if I've got to put my baby in the river, I'm going to make him a basket, an ark. I'm going to waterproof it, and I'm going to let God take care of his future. And from that mother's effort, the greatest lawgiver that ever lived in the Old Testament came about. Mothers are self-sacrificing. 2 weeks ago yesterday, I had a funeral, and I always get together with the family, and I get them to tell me things about the person who's passed away that I might not know. Oftentimes, this lady, I'd known her ever since I came to Nashville. I'd known her for 34 years. I'd known her to be a good Christian woman. She was the wife of one of our deacons. She was... Good woman, very good woman, good-hearted woman. Those kids told me some things, though, I didn't know about her. Number one, she had been a single mom. Her husband had left her with 3 children. And it was hard times. And she never let, this is what the kids told me, she never let us feel the tension or the pressure of not having. In fact, the son told the story. He says, I was in the scout troop, and we were preparing for Mother's Day, for Christmas, care boxes for needy families. And I was so surprised to find one of them turning up at our house. And he said, that was the first time I ever thought, well, I guess we're poor. But said this woman worked herself day and night. But she never let the children feel the pressure or the pain or the feeling of lack of anything. Another great thing they told me about her was that one time the Hillsborough Church of Christ helped her financially. She married this good man who'd lost his wife. And he saw to it, he said, you'll never be in want again. And the first thing she did, as soon as she get the money together, she paid Hillsborough Church of Christ back. She didn't expect people to take care of her. But you think about your mom. How many times when you had a fever did she not sit up with you at night? Mothers understand the need of sacrifice. And they illustrate it for us almost every day. And discipline. They understand. I wish I could remember. It was just last week. One of y'all was telling about your mother. She'd send you out to get a switch. And if it wasn't big enough, then she got the switch. And you wished you would have done. Is that you, Randy? And you still turned out like this? Think what would have been happened to her, him, if he hadn't got those switchings. Well, I can't help when I go to the Bible, I think of so many great women. Jochebed is one of them. Another was one whose name you'll probably recognize, Hannah. Hannah is found in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Hannah was also the mother who brought about one of the greatest prophets ever to live. She could not have children. Now, her husband had two wives. The other wife had children and made fun of Hannah because she couldn't. And she would cry and she would weep and she was sorrowful. But every year when her husband would take his family to worship God at Shiloh, at the tent of meeting, they would go and there would be a feast. And he loved Hannah best. And he would give his other wife and her children all their shares of food, but he would give Hannah a double share. And she would still grieve. And he said to her, well, aren't I better than 10 sons? Don't you know I love you? But that didn't fill the void. And she's praying to God while she was there. And Eli the priest saw her mouth moving and no words coming out. And he thought she was drunk. He says, what are you doing drinking this time of day? And she said, oh, no, I'm not drinking. You're seeing sorrow of soul. And I'm praying to God fervently. And he said, may you receive your wish then and go your way. And about that time, the next year, sure enough, she had a little son. But now she had made a promise to God, and I want to read that promise to you. Verse 11. Your handmaid, remember me, and do not forget. Your handmaid will give you your maidservant a child, a male child. Then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. She promised the Lord, if you'll give me a child, if you give me a man child, I'll give him back to you. And sure enough, she did. When he was weaned, she took him to the temple, or to the tabernacle, and presented him to Eli to serve there at the temple. And he grew up and became the great prophet Samuel, who would anoint the first two kings of Israel. There are many other examples in the Old Testament. For time's sake, though, I want to go to the New Testament, and I want to look with you at, I guess, maybe the best-known mother of all, Mary, the mother of Jesus. First of all, it was a surprise to Mary that she was going to have a son, because, as she said, I have not been with a man. But the angel came and told her that what the child you're going to bear is of the Holy Spirit. And she has trouble understanding that. But she surrenders to the Lord. And she says to him, the angel, that be it done as you will. And though she is not married and lives in a small town, though her life is complicated, she brings forth Jesus. And as he is dedicated at the temple, she learns some more things about her son. She is told, your child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. We know something about that sword piercing of her soul. We see it at the cross. And often, as Jesus was mistreated in other times, you know, he could not be mistreated without his mother feeling it. I love the interchange between Jesus and Mary. That we have only two to go from. One is from Luke chapter 2 as he is lost at the temple. He's at 12 years of age, and now he is allowed to go with Joseph and Mary to go up to the temple. And there he becomes lost from the group. You had to get together in those days and travel as a group for fear of thieves, and there probably was a pretty good company coming from Nazareth all the way down to Jerusalem, all the way up to Jerusalem because it was up on the mountain. And on the way back, Jesus must have been a really good kid because Joseph and Mary didn't even check. They never thought that he wouldn't be in the group. And they get a whole day's journey out when they realize he's not here. And now they have to go back. And they search for another day. It's 3 days before they finally find him in the temple of all places, talking with the doctors of the law, both answering and asking questions. And what's mom going to do? 12-year-old boy, he didn't return home with us. What's he going to do? She calls him right on the carpet. Can you imagine trying to call your Savior on the carpet? She, son, did you not know your father and I have been searching for you, sorrowing? Don't you know you scared us to death? Did y'all ever get lost in Walmart? Did you get that kind of reaction? Some of y'all got lost in Walmart, didn't you? We get that kind of stuff, you know. But Jesus, he's such a good kid. He's kind of taken aback that she's taken aback. He says, what? Didn't you know I must be about my Father's business? He's not talking about an earthly father. He's talking about his heavenly Father. At 12 years of age, it's already occurred to him what he's really here for and who his real father is and what his business is. And it was with the teachers of the law. And it says his parents don't understand this, but his mother stored it all up in her heart. And then there's this beautiful phrase, and he went down with them and was subject to them and increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And oh, I love the one in John chapter 2. As Jesus now is not 12, he's probably about 30. He's beginning his earthly ministry. And there's a wedding. And weddings were really big things in those days. I mean, a wedding party could last a week. There wasn't a lot of things to do. There were no football games to go to or anything like that. So weddings were really big things. And the whole family would get involved and all the friends. And Joseph and Mary were not rich people. We can see that from biblical evidence that they were not. And probably the family wasn't rich. And they were probably trying to get by on a low-budget wedding, and they run out of wine. That was a serious situation. That was embarrassing. And Mary is probably pretty close to the family because she will order the servants around. And so Mary comes to Jesus and says, they're out of wine. And you can tell just as Jesus was kind of shocked with her being shocked at him being at the temple, he's kind of shocked with this. It almost sounds rude to us in their language. It was not rude. It's a number of times Jesus, when he's talking to women, he'll say, woman. But that was not a harsh term. You know, I don't go in the house and say, food, woman. Any of you guys do that? That's why you're still living. Okay. I think a better way maybe for us to carry this over into our culture would be if you would say the word lady. He's not trying to be disrespectful to her. We'll see at the cross they do the same thing. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. But the problem is his time hasn't come. He's aware that he is on a time schedule, that his father has a plan and he needs to follow that plan. And here she comes to Jesus. We can't see them and we can't get the inflection. But apparently she thinks Jesus ought to do something about this. She didn't want the family embarrassed. And she thinks her son can do something. And so Jesus says to her, woman, what does that have to do with me? Literally, what is that to you and to me? It's not our wedding. It's not us. But I want you to notice Mary's reaction to this. I can just see a Jewish mother here, can't you? She turns to the servant and says, do whatever he says. And she just turns. I think she just walks off and leaves. Leaves him hanging with it. So he turns to the servants, and they have these large jars sitting around for purification purposes. The Jewish law had all kinds, and the Pharisees had written all these cleansings that had to be done, and there's washings and all these things. They say these jugs would hold 20 to 30 gallon. And there's six of them there. And he says, fill them up with the water. And they do. And then he says, take some and give it to the master of the feast. And they say, they always give the good wine first, and here's the good wine. Jesus, for his mother, changed the clock a little bit and did a miracle just for her. I think that's so beautiful. I think that is so precious. And I don't know whether that is the most beautiful one or is it the one on the cross. We studied this just a few weeks ago. The horrible scene of the cross. The bloodied Jesus nailed on that cross, hanging on that cross. They say as soon as you would hang on the cross like that, that weight would pull your shoulders out of socket. And it's in this horrible position. And you remember the third thing that he referred to was his mother. First, he prays for those that are killing him. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And then there's a thief being crucified with him that earlier had thrown insults upon him, but now repents and says, Lord, we deserve what's happening to us. Remember me when you're come in your kingdom. He says, today you'll be with me in paradise. And you see his tender, loving heart not only praying for his enemies and accepting this man who's now repentant of the cruel things he had said of Jesus earlier. But his second thought is, of all his disciples, one stands at the foot of the cross. John describes him as the disciple whom Jesus loves. Most everybody realizes that is John. And his mother. I don't know how much pain you ladies have ever had toward your children, but can you imagine the pain of hanging there before your mother and your mother seeing that and seeing the hurt in her eyes and the disappointment and the pain? And he says, lady, behold your son. He won't be there for her anymore. His brothers, half-brothers, are not yet believers. And so he gives his mother's care to the disciple he loves most. And he says to that disciple, son, behold your mother. And John says that from that time, he took Mary home with her and cared for her. What can you do for your mother? I'll tell you one thing your mother wants you to do is go to heaven. I never knew a mother that wanted her son or daughter to go to hell. Jesus came here so you could go to heaven. He came here so you could have your sins forgiven and start afresh and new and have His help to live for Him and to help others come to know Him. That's not the reason to obey the gospel, but that is a good thing to think about. Did my mother ever dream that I would be the way I am? Am I lost? Am I saved? Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he who does not believe will be damned." We live in an unbelieving world. Their influence is on us all the time. But on a day like this, and we think about what God intended in the family and for your life, it's a wonderful time to stop and think about seeing Mother in heaven. It's a wonderful time to think about hearing the Lord say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." What's worth more? I can't think of anything. Jesus even said, if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul, what will you give in exchange for your soul? Nothing the world holds, not all the world has, is enough to give for your soul. That's why the blood of Jesus was shed. It was enough. Today, will you come believing in Him, repenting of your sins, and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? If you're one that's a child of God and you've wandered away from the Lord, come back. Come back now. Come back while you still can. We don't know what tomorrow holds for any of us. If you need prayers for strength and help in something you're dealing with, there's one even dearer and stronger than your mother, and that's your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us huddle around you and pray with you and encourage you. However we can help, won't you come while we're together, we stand and sing.